Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Vanna Daly in for Andrea today. And we are into our Ask the Expert item. We're joined by Niall Donoghue. He's a podiatrist, an expert in foot care, to discuss tips and preventing injuries recovering after a marathon, or maybe training for a marathon, or maybe maintaining foot health during training. Depending on that training. Good afternoon to you, Niall.
Hello, how are you?
We have so many questions coming in. The screen is hopping. I have lists in front of me. Will we just go straight into it?
Okay.
Are you ready for this? What are the most common foot problems marathon runners experience? Just tell me that first of all before we go into the actual questions.
The most common thing that patients would come into me with after a marathon would be their toenails are all damaged and they're black and they're all very, very concerned. And what do I do in that? So that's probably the most common thing that the patients would come into me with.
And let me guess, we're not going into you before a marathon or before the training. We're going into you with the problems, a bit like the dentist. We don't go until we feel the pain.
Yeah, the problems have already established and they're right in front of me.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And lots of common ones. Someone else says, how can I prevent blisters and calluses from forming?
So like a blister and a callus will form just from overuse of the area. So it really is, it's very dependent on the structure of the patient's foot. What are they presenting with? Do they have the right shoe? Do they need to be assessed biomechanically? Is the forefoot and the rear foot level? And basically, if they're not level and there's a biomechanical deformity, the body's going to compensate in some way. So certain parts of the foot are just going to take that extra use. It'll heat up, it'll blister, and it'll cause discomfort and pain.
Okay. Probably wearing new runners on the day of a marathon's not ideal either, is it?
No, you should be really just gradually building up your miles and certainly not trying out a brand new pair of runners on the day of the marathon.
Yeah, break them in. Much like high heels, I suppose.
Very much like high heels.
Are there specific stretches or exercises you can recommend to keep feet healthy after a long run? Or just in general, I suppose?
Yeah, there are. I mean, it's really important to stretch out, your Achilles tendon, the back of the foot, your quads and everything like that. You can do tiptoe walking. You can practice walking on the lateral border of your feet. They all look kind of unusual and silly, but they're very much beneficial and they will strengthen and loosen out any tight muscles that might be kind of presenting.
Okay, so we should be doing that before the exercise really rather than afterwards when we're in pain?
Both really, it's okay. Afterwards is very important to do it as well. Yeah, but before and after.
So how can I tell if I have a stress fracture in my foot after running a marathon?
Well, pain. Pain is the big thing and it's going to be pretty strong as well. I mean, if it's just a little bit of an ache that somebody is just unaccustomed to running and that, it's probably more ligamentous or... but if you have fractured your foot, you're going to know it's going to be very, very sore.
You won't walk on it, will you?
You won't be able to weight bear on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you'll know pretty quickly. I've been told in the past year I've an undiagnosed Lisfranc injury from an injury that I had when I was 23. I'm now 41. My foot is misshaped as I have arthritis. Can these issues be fixed?
Ooh. Well, that's...
So started in the 20s, now 40s.
That's an old injury. So
what's a Lisfranc injury, Niall?
It's an injury of the forefoot. So I mean, I've just brought this little skeleton with me here just to show you. Like there's so many bones and ligaments that it's usually from the medial cuneiform, which is this little bone here. That's if you like at the back of the big toe. The bone can fracture away and it can become a loose within the foot and that. If that's what this patient has, the only really way that you'd be able to diagnose that is through X-ray.
Okay.
It sounds like it's a very old injury. I'm not surprised that she's got arthritis. She'd need a full biomechanical assessment, probably an X-ray, and we'd have to come up with a treatment plan for her. But that's quite an old injury.
Okay. But you can't ignore it at the same time if it's going to progress.
No, it needs to be addressed. It's going to be extremely painful if you have that injury and that has to be looked at.
Someone else says, Niall, I've a really bad heel pain on the outside part of my heel, particularly when I wake in the morning, the first steps, and also when I rotate my foot inwards. Would that be plantar fasciitis?
A plantar fasciitis, yeah, probably the big kind of you know, the sign that she's getting it first thing in the morning. That's nearly all the patients will talk about that. The first couple of steps are just an agony, and then that will just go down as the day goes on. Yep, it sounds like it is plantar fasciitis. It's difficult to say without her coming in and me examining her. But
okay.
Yeah.
I've heard people talking about rolling their foot on some kind of a roller type device.
Yeah, and that just breaks down the tissue, can just trigger a little bit of an immune response, and it can start the healing process.
Okay.
It's really important that patients have the correct BMI, you know, because I just see this over and over again. The patients that are coming in with plantar fasciitis, they have too high a BMI. So that they tend to go hand in hand. So that could be something that
so their feet are carrying too much weight ultimately.
100%, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, it's something to be mindful of. I have bunions and corns. How can I manage the pain? Because they can get very painful, can't they?
Yeah. A lot of people will kind of put the two together, a corn and a bunion, but they're actually very different things. Like the common bunion that most people would be familiar with is an eminence over the medial border of the foot, just at the first metatarsal head, where it becomes misshaped, and that will put a lot of pressure. You can get a corn over that, over the eminence there, over the joint. The other parts where you get corns is interdigitally in between your toes. You can get them at the apex if your toes are clawed. The treatment for them is just enucleation, is reducing it down with a scalpel blade and taking it out. You get immediate relief. But if there's an underlying...
And is that a hospital process?
No. That's done in a routine
So you do that,
clinic.
Would you?
Yeah, we do that, yeah.
Okay. So you just go in and leave on the same appointment?
You would. You're in and out in 30 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you do this all the time?
Every day.
Really?
Every day, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's routine practice for podiatry, yeah.
Okay. I have an ingrown toenail. This is the third time I've gotten one. Is there anything I can do to stop getting them in the future? So preventative stuff for ingrown toenails now.
Sometimes, it really depends. I mean, if the nail plate is large and it's just almost kind of too big for the toe, you can have it surgically removed under local anaesthetic. Other times, you know, the nail can just be involuted. That's just a curvature that needs to be cleaned out or debrided every couple of months in a podiatry clinic. Sometimes, you know, after a shower or a bath, you can pull back the skin at the side of the nail and you can just flush it out. There might be something trapped in it. It could be a bit of debris, could be a hair, anything like that, and that can give the patient relief. So, yeah, just keeping an eye on it, not being over enthusiastic and going, I'm going to pull out this, whatever that is. That tends to make things worse.
Okay, don't try and do that yourself, obviously. I'm 40 and I've recently taken up running. I enjoy it, but I've started to get really sore shin splints. Should I just run through the pain barrier and hope that it improves, change footwear, or is there anything else I can do? Thanks for any advice.
Usually when a patient kind of comes in, when they've got shin splints, that there's something new in their regime. It could be that they've changed the shoes, or they have increased the mileage, but something is just not quite right. But I think this lady, she's just new.
She's just started running.
She's just started. So, you know, the other thing is that a lot of people, they throw everything at it and they just... You know, zero to hero. In very, very.
We get very enthusiastic about new projects, don't we?
The weekend warriors are out this time of year. So it's slow and steady is much, much healthier. You know, you should be building up your miles. Start off, but just a run walk and gradually, you know, build it up and up and up. And hopefully the shin splints will be avoided.
OK, so maybe go a little bit slower and steadier. And see how you get on. I find when I run, I get pain in one of my toenails, the same one every time. It's not bruised or marked afterwards. There doesn't seem to be anything wrong with it. And I don't have an ingrown toenail or anything like that. I can't decide what it could be. Any ideas?
Well, sometimes, you know, you can get a patient in and they don't have that typical ingrown toenail where there's fluid discharge from it. And it can be gonococcic, it can be thickened. and it can be curved. So sometimes, you know, just taking out the bulk of the nail can just free up a little bit of space that's inside the shoe, and it can be a great pain manager. So again, without seeing the nail, something is wrong. I mean, she's in discomfort, she's in pain. So that's an indicator that something is just not so quite right.
She should get it checked out. Yeah. What about cutting the nails straight? Are you supposed to do that to avoid ingrown toenails?
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing.
Now you're smiling. Why are you smiling at me?
You know, I get patients coming in saying, well, what if I cut a V in the middle of it? Is that going to stop it? And I sometimes say, look, you know, you'd have to cut the whole alphabet into that nail in order to fix that. Cutting letters, cutting V's in at the apex of the nails generally doesn't work. But yeah, you should be cutting your toenails the similar way as you would cut your fingernails. You'd never go down the side of a fingernail. It's the same with a toenail. So nice and straight. You can round them off the side with an emery board, and you should be ready for marathon.
Keep it simple. Okay. I noticed the other day that a small bone is protruding at the top of my foot over the side over my arch. If I had an arch, it hurts when I tie up runners too tight. Any ideas?
It sounds like that there's something not quite right at the mid-tarsal joint area. So that's like where you would tie up your shoelaces. And yeah, we would get a lot of patients coming in that are just really, really tying up these laces too tight. If she loosens those laces a little bit and she's got the right support on the sole of her foot, it should hopefully go down. But if it's bothering her, she needs to come in and have that looked at.
Okay. Don't ignore it. Like most issues, I suppose, yeah. Niall. That's Niall Donoghue, podiatrist at Cure Spa in Goatstown. We could be here for hours, Niall, going through more questions. Thanks very much for joining us.
Great to come in. Thank you.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.